Thank you, Lord. I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit this morning, aren't you?
Yes. Absolutely.
This is Sunday morning, 4/11/21. We're continuing in our study, Learning to Flow in the Supernatural, but this title is called Taking Back or Taking Our Land Back. Taking Our Land Back. Back in September of 1999, I've told this story a few times and I'll tell it again. The Lord brought it back up to me. Back in 1999, I flew to another state to speak at this church. And as I'm flying there, the Holy Spirit says, I never meant for the airlines to be in the hands of the wicked. And then it just expanded from there. Any place you see, any institution you see, any cultural influence anywhere, it's never meant, God never meant for it to be in the hands of the wicked. It's the first time I'd ever heard of it. A lot of people call it dominionism and they don't look at it very favorably. I'm kind of shocked because the gospel's full of it. Dominionism. And so that's what we're going to look at today. It revived again in me back about 2015 or 16. First time I ever came across Lance Wallnau, and I don't even know how I even come across him, but that's what his specialty is. He goes around the nation and even other places teaching the Seven Mountain Mandate. And that's the first time that I realized what the Lord had spoken to me, that this was an actual real thing that happened. There was a couple of men that were instrumental in bringing this to the forefront back in the 70s or 80s. I don't even remember their names. And I guess it kind of fell by the wayside. But anyway, that's what the Lord brought up to me this week. I just want to read to you what the seven, this is called the Spears of Social Influence, but it's basically the Seven Mountains of Societal Influence. All right, the Seven Mountain Mandate is a powerful, transformative campaign intended to bring about this social transformation. Isn't that what we need right now? More than anything. These seven fields of society must be reached. Religion and faith. In the West, Christianity is under attack and the concept of God is being rejected more than ever. We believe that the church must revive its previously strong influence on Western society, not just Western society. This has to be worldwide. Expanding the kingdom of God by spreading knowledge of the love and gospel of Jesus Christ, the church is tasked with expanding his message through ministerial efforts to our nation and across the world. Okay, he suggests Andrew Womack Ministries, which I guess he must do that kind of thing too. Family. The family is the centerpiece of any functioning society. Unfortunately, families in the U.S. have been under attack and suffered from dysfunction for decades. Divorce, fatherlessness, abuse, and homosexual marriage are among the primary culprits. We believe God wants to bring healing to marriages and relationships, ending this chaos and providing a solid moral foundation for our children. Education. Once our education system unapologetically incorporated biblical principles and prayer into students' daily routines, now our children are being indoctrinated with liberal ideologies, atheistic teaching, and postmodern principles in our public schools and even in Christian institutions. We seek to restore biblical truth and godly morality into our country's failing educational system. Government and law. A nation's moral condition is often reflected in its political leaders. Unfortunately, we have seen a steady increase in political corruption as well as a steady erosion of the link between our government and legal system and the Christian values upon which our country was founded. Our goal is to educate and equip citizens so they can effectively influence government at all levels with truth and righteousness. I personally believe the Lord gives everyone some mountain of influence that they are to operate in. I believe that. Media, news, and commentary. The media, news, and commentary mountain includes sources such as TV, radio, newspapers, online news, and of course the hugely influential social media sites and blogs on the internet. To bring transformation to this enormous mountain, we shall speak the truth from a biblical perspective to combat the sea of disinformation spread by liberal elite outlets and other mainstream media sources. Arts and entertainment, music, movies, television, social media wield enormous influence on our youth. And the dark forces of sex, drugs, alcohol, and immorality that permeate these fields are spreading dangerous messages to our children. The body of Christ is in desperate need of righteous people who take their talents to these fields and are unafraid of using their platform to further His greater purposes. Business and economics. I had something to say to you about your field. You were talking about your field. It's not just being at the office. It's your speaking. It's getting insight into the institution that you work for and changing it from the inside out. The free market system is a God-given gift enabling us to build wealth through enterprise, creativity, and effort. We believe in limiting the role of government in our nation's business practices and allowing the free markets to run their course. We also espouse prosperity with a purpose, calling upon those who manage businesses to lead with integrity, honesty, and by biblical principles. I mean, wherever you go, you see something out of order. I mean, the field is open and you could be doing it 24/7, 24 hours a day. Calling things, saying what you want about these things. All right. I believe to flow in the supernatural, we're going to have this as our goal. Yeah, our goal. Jesus commissioned us to do this. All right, we're going to look at the Great Commission, Matthew 28. Verse 19 says, Jesus said this, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." So he knew for the cultures to come in line with the seven mountain mandate that people would have to be born again. For God to be at the top, He wanted every creature, every nation, every creature reached with the gospel. Because you know what mankind does without God. Just look around you. All right, Mark 16. And he said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." He that believe, I should look up creature, see what that means. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name, shall they cast out devils as you speak with new tongues. You know, that's true. If you don't know Jesus, you're damned. You don't have a chance. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with your tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Jesus' example before us, Acts 10:38, how Jesus Christ of Nazareth, filled with the Holy Ghost and with power, went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. He did not critique them first. Well, you know, you're paying your tithe. Well, you know, are you doing this? He didn't ask them anything. Now, I'm talking about spreading the gospel. A lot of people think, well, if you don't come into our doctrinal beliefs, then, you know, you just don't have a chance. I've run across a few of those. The most appalling that I've ever run across is the Pentecostal oneness group. I'm telling you, you talk about the devil has infiltrated that. All right. He took the kingdom. He took the gospel wherever he went. What is the gospel? It's good news. It's kingdom ways. You don't have to live like this anymore. You don't have to be under this tyranny anymore. You can be under God's kingdom. Okay. This is how we're going to do it also. A person coming into the kingdom is going to have great influence over many. You get one born again in a household, they begin to influence people in their household and then other places. This is how we're going to see our nation change, when the narrative changes from dark to light. The gospel is the only hope for this nation. I don't care what anyone says. It is the only hope for this nation. Yeah. A second way that I believe is instrumental in changing our culture is by taking dominion. That's what I'm just speaking. Taking dominion over. When you see something you don't like, you have been given authority in the name of Jesus to change it. So the Lord said to me, I was praying over my dog. I was praying over, you know, I feel like my first little dog, he had reactions to rabies, and I'm not so sure it didn't shorten his life. And so I didn't want to mess with the system anymore, and I was agonizing over that because my little dog has some needs, and I'm thinking, the Lord, you know, after a week of just agony over this, he said, change the laws. I thought he'd say, well, go on, I'll, you know, take care of it, whatever. No. He didn't say go to the system. He said change the system. So that's what I've been doing ever since. There's no more mandatory forced vaccinating in this country for animals or humans, period. That's a biggie. Especially today. All right, taking dominion. All right, let's look at Genesis 1. Let's go back to the beginning. I was telling Danny, I said, there's really no telling how many times we've been to this place. I've even heard people say, you know, the men in black, where when you'd see something you shouldn't have seen, they would just wipe your memory. And I've heard people say that is an actual thing and that has actually been done. And said, you know, as people wake up, they may realize things that have happened to them that they didn't realize had happened to them. And I thought, you know, yeah, they were projecting what they're doing to people. But anyway, there's just really no telling how many times Lord had to flood the earth. But he finally came to the point, I'm tired of flooding the earth. I'm not going to do it anymore. And he put the rainbow in the clouds as a promise that he wasn't going to flood the earth again. That's why it's come to such a horrible head here. It's about to be over. If he kept flooding the earth, he'd never be able to come back. You know what I'm saying? All right, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. We don't know when that was. I'm not going to argue with people. We know Adam's time till now, 6,000 years about. But when the earth was really made, we really don't know. We don't know. And it says the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So the devil had been here. He had done his destruction. He wiped out everything. Devastated the whole earth. So God had to flood it out. And it just sat there. What did he say? And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And you can read this whole chapter. He starts recreating. Putting the moon, the stars, the sun, the plants, the animals. Back on it. Back on or in the earth. Okay, Genesis 2. Then he made his man. Well, let me read this one. This is key. I've read this a lot to y'all. This is 26 of 1. And God said, all right, after everything he did was good. after his kind. Everything was after his kind, his way, his order. All right. Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. He never meant for all creation to be under the cabal. Nothing against the forest rangers and the game wardens and all those kind of things. But it's gotten to where you are so hit up with fees and licenses and stuff, you can't even walk your earth and get a fish if you're hungry. You better have a ruler on you too, because if it's too short or too long, you're liable to get a ticket. Can't go on your own property and shoot a deer and have meat for your family. That kind of thing. God said take dominion. He didn't give it to them. He gave it to us. And God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Okay, chapter 2. Verse 19. Does that work? Yeah. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. Adam gave names to all the cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. Don't grapple with what you got. You probably called it. All right, that's what he's told us to do. We're to call the shots. If we don't like something, we're to call it what we want, whether it be at work, if it be at church, work. Any place we go, any place we visit, we've been doing this. People that are going to go along with the Nazi regime will say, okay, we call in new ownership. New CEOs, new business owners, new employees that will come into line with God's order and God's way, and we proclaim it this day. That's how you change your landscape. They're mountains, aren't they? They're mountains that had the devil at the top, not you. That's why Jesus said, speak to the mountain. What is that doing? That's putting you at the top of the mountain and putting the devil on the outside. He shouldn't be running things. That's why we're in the trouble we're in. All right, Matthew 16. He also gave us some keys in this process. Matthew 16:19. He said, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So you call the shots. You lock the devil out. You loose the kingdom of God to go forward into these places. All right, keep going. John 14. Verse 13. He gave us his name. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Pretty inclusive, isn't it? Anything. Anything. Okay, let's flip back to Matthew 12. Verse 22. Then was brought unto him one possessed with the devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, This fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. Every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? I heard Bishop Larry Gators the other day on a roll, if you've ever heard him. He was talking about to properly take dominion, that you really need to... It's kind of like I was talking about with this lady I'm reading after, with talking about the ley lines and the stuff, all the network that Satan has laid out. Getting to the root of that thing and breaking that thing, binding that thing, so that that power is broken. So it looses all this that power had stronghold over. Isn't that what we're doing? Satan's had a stronghold in our nation since we've been born. Yeah. Okay, Mark 3, I think is the same thing. Let me look. Yeah. Verse 27. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man, then he will spoil his house. That's kind of like taking off the head of the giant. Once you cut off the head of the giant, that stronghold, that authority in that head is gone. Then you move in, set up camp. That's why God has people in every walk of life, all seven mountains a mandate to take the mountain, not put up with the giant at the top of the mountain. No. Mark 11:22. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, which we know represents something you don't like, whether it be a leader, whether it be whatever, a problem, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. First John 3:8. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. These, whatever they are, that have been in power for so long, they're of the devil, and they are sinning. That's why Jesus wants us to take them out. Not personally go and cut their heads off like David did to Goliath, but to, by faith, speak them out of power. And in some cases, God will ask people to be in those places to keep that authority under God's authority. Yeah. All right. All right. That's what we do as sons of God, right? Mm-hmm. All right. Romans 8:14. You think, well, what's this got to do with flowing in the Holy Spirit? Well, right here, as many as are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. What it has to do with sons of God. But ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. The sons of God act like the Son of God. Jesus didn't waste any time when he was here. He had a short time. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. People are groaning. They're groaning right now. What did God tell the Israelites about their land? If you don't drive them out, there'll be thorns in your side and pricks in your eyes. Is that what you, doesn't it feel like that? They're just thorns in your side and pricks in your eyes. It's like everywhere you turn it, they're just jabbing you with something. They're putricity. Why is that? Because we didn't drive them out. We've been asleep. But now we have an opportunity. Because really, compared in number, they're about 1% of the population. It's just, it's motivating people to get out of their houses, and people quit saying, I don't want to know anything. I don't want to hear anything. Don't tell me nothing. Da, 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 da. I feel like saying, it's because of people like you that we're in this mess. But no, that's true. They'll start saying, well, bless God. When they see these children, when they start seeing some of these things fixing to drop, they're going to say, what? And they're going to become enraged, and they're going to start pushing back. See, this is what this is all about. Mm-hmm. We have to push back. The president can't do it all. He does his part, but he, you know, it's all about the people, because he could change everything. But if people don't get their mindsets changed, they'll go right back to the complacency that they did before. And they'll sit on their rears and collect their checks, and they won't do a dead gum thing, and we'll be back in this mess again in 100 years probably. And what will our descendants have to put up with? Heard somebody the other day say, I stood up because I got to thinking, this was a retired army or something. I can't leave this for my grandkids. We have to think about that. I think about little Tootie Britches, you know, him running around here throwing his Easter eggs on the ground, carefree. That's the way his life should be. It shouldn't be, he's got to face this thing when he gets grown. No, we've got to take it out. We have to take it out. The Lord's laying it in our lap. Okay. Everything around us and even ourselves are groaning for this. What is the kingdom in manifestation? We have a lot of work ahead of us. We, you know, just think about everything that's good and wholesome, and just think about a society that everyone speaks good. Everybody loves each other. There's no crime. You don't have to leave your doors locked anymore. I mean, this type of deal where it used to be that way, so we thought. It really wasn't that way. It was somewhat that way. It was on its way out the door. We have a lot of work ahead of us. We must be diligent, not let an opportunity get past us to change the landscape. I know it's tiresome, but it would be even more tiresome if we had a weapon and we were out in the field and having to do it. At least this we can do anywhere. Yeah, okay. Uh, God is not just going to hand it to us without us using our faith, because faith pleases Him. He's not going to just hand it to us. That doesn't make warriors. That that keeps people babies. That's why the church is the way it is. Everybody's 24/7 prayer chains while they go about their busy schedule. Well, while they went about their busy schedule, the enemy sowed tares among the wheat and ruined the crop. We can't be lackadaisical anymore. All right. I know so many right now that are waiting for just that. We've got to get aggressive. Even if it's just in your chair where you pray. Get aggressive. Do your part. We all have a part. I'm not a digital soldier. I'm glad I don't have to put up with what they have to put up with from people. But I'm on television today, and I dropped quite a few bombs on television today about the three city states. People have got to know, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to let them know. All right, Joshua. Whatever God has put in our hand to do, that's what we are to do. We're not to do what everybody else is doing. We're to do what He's telling us to do. And it came to pass, verse 1, when Jabin, king of Hazor, had heard those things, that he sent to Joab, king of Madon, and to the king of Shimron, and to the king of Akshaph, and to the kings that were on the north of the mountains of the plain south of Chinneroth, and in the valley in the borders of Dor on the west, and to the Canaanite on the east and on the west, and to the Amorite and the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Jebusite in the mountains, and to the Hivite under Hermon in the land of Mizpah. You realize these are all giants, right? And they went out, they and all their host with them, much people, even as the sand that is upon the seashore, and multitude with horses and chariots, very many. When all these kings were met together, they came and pitched together at the waters of Merom to fight against Israel. And the Lord said unto Joshua, be not afraid because of them, for tomorrow about this time will I deliver them up, all slain before Israel. Thou shalt hoe their horses and burn their chariots with fire. So Joshua came and all the people of war with him against them by the waters of Merom suddenly, and they fell upon them, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Israel, who smote them and chased them unto great Zidon and unto Mishrephoth Maim and unto the valley of Mizpah eastward, and they smote them until they left them nothing remaining. We can't quit till every one is gone, all of them. And Joshua did unto them as the Lord bade him. He hoed their horses and burnt their chariots with fire. And Joshua at that time turned back and took Hazor and smote the king thereof with the sword. For Hazor before time was the head of all those kingdoms. That's the big head. And they smote all the souls that were therein with the edge of the sword, utterly destroying them. There was not any left to breathe, and he burnt Hazor with fire. All the cities of those kings and all the kings of them did Joshua take and smote them with the edge of the sword, and he utterly destroyed them as Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded. But as for the cities that stood still in their strength, Israel burned none of them, save Hazor only, that did Joshua burn. And all the spoil of these cities and the cattle, the children of Israel took for prey unto themselves, but every man they smote with the edge of the sword until they had destroyed them, neither left they any to breathe. As the Lord commanded Moses, his servant, so did Moses command Joshua, and so did Joshua. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord God commanded Moses. So Joshua took all that land, the hills and all the south country, all the land of Goshen and the valley and the plain and the mountain of Israel and the valley of the same, even from the Mount Halak that goeth up to Seir, even to the Baal Gad in the valley of Lebanon, under Mount Hermon, and all their kings he took and smote them and slew them. Joshua made war a long time with all those kings. There was not a city that made peace with the children of Israel, save the Hivites, the inhabitants of Gibeon. All other they took in battle. You know what happened with Gibeon? They pretended they'd come from a long way, far place, and Joshua didn't ask the Lord about it. So they convinced them their bread was moldy, their clothes were worn out. Because they were scared. They knew they were going to come in and wipe them out, so they pretended that they were going to be their servants. So they made a covenant with them, and so God held them to it. You're going to put up with these people here. They ended up being their servants, it said. For it was of the Lord to harden their hearts that they should come against Israel in battle, that he might destroy them utterly, and that they might have no favor, but that he might destroy them as the Lord commanded Moses. You know, the Lord likes to do the battle. Do you know the battle belongs to the Lord? It's not us fighting. We're fighting the good fight of faith. That's to stand and to speak. But it's like here, he delights in setting them up so he can ambush them, take them out. And at that time came Joshua and cut off the Anakims from the mountains, from Hebron, from Debir, from Aneb, and from all the mountains of Judah, from all the mountains of Israel. Well, these things were everywhere, weren't they? Joshua destroyed them utterly with their cities. And there was none of the Anakims left in the land of the children of Israel. Well, those are giants. Only in Gaza and Gath and in Ashdod there remained. So Joshua took the whole land according to all the Lord said unto Moses. And Joshua gave it for an inheritance unto Israel according to their divisions by their tribes, and the land rested for more. How did they get their inheritance? They had to go in and fight. They had to go take it. God didn't say, well, darlings, you've had such a hard time, let me just do this for you. No, he made them fight. I mean, he fought the battles for them, but he made them fight. Caleb's request. We're going to look at this. This is Joshua 14. This is Joshua 14:6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. This was like 40 years ago. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land wherein thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet, I'm as strong this day. I want y'all to remember what I'm reading here, because we have a prophet's corner word that goes along with this. As yet, I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me, as my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and said, and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. That's where that song, I am a giant killer, come from. This passage right here. God's given us the land. We got to go. It's like Keith Moore said, but there's 4 or 5 hairy demons sitting over there on it, and you're going to have to go run them off. People don't understand that. They think it's like everything else. Well, just, you know, they don't work, so give them the money of the person that's worked hard all their life. Take their Social Security and set them up in hotels. It's what they're doing right now. Mm-hmm. That don't make you mad. Nothing will. Joshua 17:14. And the children of Joshua spake unto Joshua, saying, why hast thou given me but one lot and one portion to inherit, seeing I am a great people, forasmuch as the Lord hath blessed me hitherto? And Joshua answered them, if thou be a great people, then get thee up to the wood country and cut down for thyself there in the land of the Perizzites and of the giants, if Mount Ephraim be too narrow for thee. In other words, get off your rear ends and get to killing them giants off if you want more land. Expect me to just give you whatever. And the children of Joseph said, the hill is not enough for us. All the Canaanites that dwell in the land of the valley have chariots of iron. Both they who are of Beth Shen and her towns, and they who are of the valley of Jezreel. And Joshua spake unto the house of Joseph, even to Ephraim and Manasseh, saying, Thou art a great people, and hast great power. Thou shalt not have one lot only. Don't just settle. Well, this is just the way it is. This is the way life is. I have to put up with this. No, we don't. But the mountain shall be thine, for it is a wood, and thou shalt cut it down, and the outgoings of it shall be thine. Did you read that? That the mountain shall be thine, for it is a wood. I've been seeing those things about these mountains, that they were actually trees. Like Devil's Peak. It looks like a sawed-off tree trunk. I think it actually is. For thou shalt drive out the Canaanites, though they have iron chariots, and though they be strong. No slack. All right, Joshua 18. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel assembled together at Shiloh and set up the tabernacle of the congregation there, and the land was subdued before them. And there remained among the children of Israel 7 tribes which had not yet received their inheritance. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, How long are ye slack to go to possess the land? Which the Lord God of your fathers hath given you. Give out from among you 3 men of each tribe, and I will send them, and they shall rise and go through the land and describe it according to the inheritance of them, and they shall come again to me. They shall divide it into 7 parts. Judah shall abide in their coast. There's that 7 mountains. 7 parts. Judah shall abide in their coast on the south, and the house of Joseph shall abide in their coast on the north. You shall therefore describe the land into 7 parts and bring the description hither to me, that I may cast lots for here before the Lord our God. But the Levites have no part among you, for the priesthood of the Lord is their inheritance. And Gad and Reuben and half tribe of Manasseh have received their inheritance beyond Jordan on the east, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave them. And the men arose and went away. The thing about the men on the other side of the Jordan, they made a deal. We want this land over here on the other side, but if what we'll do is we'll go and we will fight and we'll get everybody's land back first before we go to ours. Yeah. And the men arose and went away, and Joshua charged them that went to describe the land, saying, Go and walk through the land and describe it, and come again to me, that I may here cast lots for you before the Lord in Shiloh. And the men went and passed through the land and described it by cities into 7 parts in a book, and came again to Joshua to the host of Shiloh. And Joshua cast lots for them in Shiloh before the Lord, and there Joshua divided the land unto the children of Israel according to their divisions. And the lot of the tribe of the children of Benjamin came up according to their families, and the coast of their lot came forth between the children of Judah and the children of Joseph, and their border on the north side was from Jordan, and the border went up to the side of Jericho on the north side, and went up through the mountains westward, and the goings out thereof were at the wilderness of Bethaven. And the border went over from thence toward Luz, to the side of Luz, which is Bethel, southward. And the border descended to Adaroth, Ader, near the hill that lieth on the south side of the nether Beth-horon. And the border was drawn thence, and passed the corner of the sea southward from the hill that lieth before Beth-horon southward. And the goings out thereof were at Kirjath-bel, which is Kirjath-jearim, a city of the children of Judah. This was the west quarter, and the south quarter was from the end of Kirjath-jearim, and the border went out of the west and went out to the well of waters of Nephtoah. And the border came down to the end of the mountain that lies before the valley of the son of Hinnom, and which is the valley of the giants on the north, and descended to the valley of Hinnom to the east of Jebusi on the south, and descended to En-Rogel, and was drawn from the north, and went forth to En-Shemesh, and went forth toward Geloloth, which is over against the going up of Adumim, and descended to the stone of Bohan, the son of Reuben, and passed along toward the side over against Arba northward, and went down to Araba. And the border passed along to the side of Beth Hogla northward, and the outgoings of the border at the north bay of the Salt Sea at the south end of Jordan. This was the South Sea. And Jordan was the border of it on the east. This was the inheritance of the children of Reuben by the coast thereof round about according to their families. So they went in and took the whole land. The whole land. They didn't just try to just get it to where it was least bearable. You know, just a little place. That's all I want. Us four no more. You don't need much. No, we need it all. It's for the kingdom. We need it all. That's what Jesus is going to do when he comes. Says kingdoms of this world are going to become the kingdom of his God. All right, we're going to have to take it all also. No one is going to hand it to us on a silver platter. It's not going to happen. That's why so many people, why don't the president do something? Why don't the government do something? Well, it'd be more up to the governors than it would be the president. But anyway, you know, that's what is so important, that our local government, state government. I heard a man explain the Constitution. He said, the United States was never set up. The federal government was only to deal with the outside, like foreign. Governors were to take care of state and your own legislatures. That's why when we saw all these horrible people and all the riots and all the stuff they were doing, they defied the orders of the president. They were by their right to do so. It just made me look at it in a different way, like we were a union of sovereign states. We are a union of sovereign states. We're like Texas is a country as unto itself. It's a sovereign state. And our government's run within Texas, which we see our governor stepping up and stopping the vaccine passport, stopping the stuff at the border. Mm-hmm. He has that jurisdiction to do so. The government can't come in and take our guns or do anything. Not when the states are run the way they're supposed to. That's the way the founding fathers set it up. They did not want another monarch. Many times they tried to come back in and put us under that. Before that. All right, Judges, chapter 6. You know what? The thing that's great about this is that whenever the Lord told them to go in and take the land, he had a plan to help them do it. We're going to start with verse 1 here. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. They quit being diligent. They quit kicking the giants off their land. They started creeping in. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. So they hid out. On their own land, they have to hide on their own land. So it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them, and they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till thou come unto Gaza and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass. So they destroyed, they stole all their crops and took all their cattle and sheep. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude. For both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up out from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But ye have not obeyed my voice. That's what happens when you don't obey his voice. And there came an angel of the Lord, and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? I bet he nearly passed out. And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? I'm not anybody. Behold, my family is the poorest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. All right, chapter 7. Pick up verse 9 here. We're going to see how God did it. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, arise, get thee down into the host, for I have delivered it into thine hand. But if thou fear to go down, go thou with Phurah the servant down to the host, and thou shalt hear what they say, and afterwards shall thine hands be strengthened to go down into the host. Then went he down with Phurah his servant unto the outside of the armed men that were in the host, and the Midianites and the Amalekites. Now these are the giants here. All the children of the east lay along in the valley like grasshoppers for multitude, and their camels were without number as the sand by the seaside for multitude. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow and said, behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian and came into a tent and smote it that it fell and overturned it that the tent lay long. And his servant answered and said, this is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. For into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host. We just don't know who we are and what we have. And it was so when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof that he worshipped and returned to the host of Israel and said, arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. And he divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet in each man's hand with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers, and said unto them, look on me and do likewise, and behold, when I come to the camp outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. When I blow with the trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets. Also on every side of all the camp, and say, the sword of the Lord and Gideon. Same thing as Jericho, blowing the trumpets. So Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came unto the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch, and they had but newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpet and brake the pitchers that were in their hands, and the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers and held the lamps in their left hands, the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal, and they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon, and they stood every man in his place round about the camp, and all the host ran and cried and fled. And the 300 blew the trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the host. And the host fled to Beth Shittah and Zerahath, and to the border of Abel Meholah unto to Beth. So they just stood there watching them kill themselves. God did it. What is the significance of relieving the giant's head? I've already talked about this. Because heads represent authority. Yeah. Take off the heads, you take out that authority that's operating in the world, in our land. All right? When that head's removed, then the church can move in and be the head of that seven mountain, of the seven mountains. All right? Deuteronomy 28. This is what God wants for us. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. Thou shalt be above only. Thou shalt not be beneath. If thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them. Aren't you tired of being the tail? Yeah. We must get in a habit of not letting anything the giants say to us get past us without commenting, without speaking. See, there's all kinds of avenues that it comes, it pipes through. We can't let them get past us. But I'll say this, last scripture here in closing on this teaching. Revelation 12:11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony.